This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast. This is the Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, for June 23rd, 2024.
Good morning. We don't really have much in the way of announcements this morning. We invite everyone to join us for refreshments immediately after the service. They will be either outside on the porch, depending on the weather, or inside in the narthex. At this time, children are encouraged to join us in the chapel for donuts and Jesus, and I guess for other people who are interested in donuts, they might sneak in. And we also encourage everyone to download our Church of Redeemer app. Just search Redeemer Cincy with a Y in your phone's app store, and then you can find all the registration information. This morning, I also want to welcome Andrew Nash, who is our guest organist today. And we are delighted that he is with us. So, thank you.
God.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The response today is a portion of Psalm 107. Please join me as we say together, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships and plied their trade in deep waters. They beheld the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Then he spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens and fell back to the depths. Their hearts melted because of their peril. They reeled and scattered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper and quieted the waves of the sea. Then were they glad because of the calm, and he brought them to the harbor they were bound for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
A reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. As we work together with Christ, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet we are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children, open wide to your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And he woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He awoke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Paul writes, "We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also." Today we continue our focus on the epistle, the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and much of the tone probably feels familiar from recent weeks. Paul is heartfelt in his desire to bring the Corinthians together, to unite them behind the message he and his fellow apostles bring, to discourage them from being distracted and lured by others, reflecting more worldly success and power, to help them to see the authenticity of Paul and the apostles' ministry as servants of God and working together with Christ. As Paul presents his case, he expresses urgency. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Paul makes clear there are no obstacles. And Paul points to his and the apostles' steadfastness and endurance through afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment. Paul tells them of how they have endured by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthfulness, and the power of God. And Paul describes the situation he and the other apostles find themselves in. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. And describing all of this, he describes how he and the apostles, their hearts remain open to the Corinthians and asks for the Corinthians' hearts to be open too. So we hear a sense of urgency, the challenge of deep divisions in community, the challenge of different understandings of what it means to be servants of God, and the deepest desire for there to be open hearts on all sides. As I was reading various commentaries, attention was frequently brought to Paul's sense of urgency. It is certainly understandable. The Corinthians community is one he and his fellow apostles founded, and how discouraging it must have felt to them to see this division, to see them being captivated by other voices, personalities, messages. There is a history of conflict that continues. And Paul must have felt so much was riding on strengthening this connection, be working together as Paul understands God has called them to do. Not by the standards of the world, but by the servanthood shown to them by Christ. And there was very much a sense that time was short. The need for alignment and action is now. I confess, when I hear words of urgency and what's at stake, sometimes they make my stomach turn. Maybe you've experienced that too. We hear daily, we hear almost hourly, how the stakes have never been higher for our climate, for our world, for our democracy here and around the world, for war-torn countries and the people afflicted, for human rights, for justice at all levels of the justice system. We hear how high the stakes are and how urgent it is for us to come together. I was in Sweden visiting family, just returning a couple days ago. And we stayed in Uppsala. It's a university town about 45 minutes from Stockholm. And between the language barriers and the different rhythms of life there, I felt almost as if I had gone on retreat from urgency and high stakes. I felt like I could breathe a little easier there. It was also quite a bit cooler there. But the urgency that we keep hearing about in the constant power struggles, the blaring headlines, the overwhelming situations that truly feel and are urgent, somehow feel beyond our grasp. I had gone to Sweden to get a glimpse of my son and granddaughter's lives there. They've been there 6 months, have about another month to go. And so it was really not a vacation as much as a family visit. And Uppsala is not a vacation destination. It is a university town. I went with the intention of coming home with an Uppsala sweatshirt, and there was not an Uppsala sweatshirt to be found. But within 1 hour of my arrival, I found myself sitting in my 13-year-old granddaughter's graduation. And I had worried, as a grandmother, about her being in Sweden. I had worried about how she would do in a Swedish school because her only language training in Swedish was through Duolingo, which is wonderful, but it does have some limits versus what we encounter in real life conversation, and especially in classrooms when the lessons are taught in Swedish. I also was concerned about she was going to be entering a very different culture, and all of her friends were being left behind. After the service, I saw my granddaughter being so fully embraced in group hugs by the girl she had come to know and love. You could hardly see her, she's very short, and they were towering over her and they were hugging her as if they would never let her go. And she said to me later how some of these girls had become her new best friends. Not just best friends in Sweden, but best friends, period. Two of the girls had Indian heritage. One was from Venezuela. There was laughter and tears and tight embraces. They were refusing to let my granddaughter go, knowing she would be heading back to the US soon. Yet here on another continent, my granddaughter had been embraced by others with open hearts. And she had arrived with an open heart, and love prevailed. A class of 13-year-olds doesn't change the stakes and urgency in the world today, but it provides a glimpse of hope. The stakes, the divisions, the tragedies we witness in the outer world can feel so urgent and overwhelming. How do we possibly respond? About 12 hours after my landing here in Cincinnati, I attended a spiritual and grief care committee meeting at Cincinnati Children's. To say I was jet-lagged would be a gross understatement. But the meeting included presentations from two of the staff chaplains there. Rabbi Kaufman, who spoke to the specific care needs of our Jewish patients and families. And Ayman Solomon, who spoke to the care needs of our Muslim patients and families. In both cases, the desire and will to understand, support, and respect differences in religious practices, customs, and traditions had been paramount, and they have been viewed as a critical aspect of providing excellent patient care, providing effective patient care. And yet what struck me the most in these presentations was the relationship between these two individuals. They embrace each other whenever they see each other. They collaborate wholeheartedly. They express such deep appreciation for the opportunity to work together. And one said recently to the other, "Peace begins here. This is the littlest beginning, but peace begins here." Open hearts in an institution, in caregivers and receivers, in these two religious leaders. Open hearts have the potential to create ripples of transformation anywhere. We see in Paul's words to the Corinthians the mighty challenges and the tendency human beings have to be reactive. It is easy to get caught up in our minds, in our opinions, in our need to be right, in our power or desire for power or control. When I was reading through some of the commentaries, there was a quote that got my attention. It was unattributed. But the quote was, "The reason that fights in churches get so vicious is that the stakes are so low." The stakes are so low. Surely that was what Paul was facing, this conflicts, the vicious conflicts that divided and distracted the Corinthian community. The conflicts that took them away from the ministry they had been called to. And yet, while the things that were being fought over were of so little consequence in a bigger picture, he also knew that the stakes that the divisions created were actually quite high. We can focus on minutiae, but when that becomes the focus and the distraction, and when we become enemies to each other, the stakes are very, very high. In this place, we seek to be a loving community, present to each other and those we encounter in the wider community, to be focused on the ministry of love to which we are called. And I hear that echoed by so many of you. But the quote resonated also because it felt that it was relevant to what we encounter in the broader world, not just in churches, but so often we can encounter it in other organizations, in governments, in councils, you name it. The amount of energy and emotion and viciousness that can be triggered by things that are ultimately of little consequence. But the triggering of that response creates such a wake of vicious disagreements that do have very high stakes associated with them. So I invite us to look at our own lives for a moment. Think about those places in our own lives that it is easy and natural for us to be open-hearted. Think about those places where we can relax and just be who we are and say who we are and just show up as we are and just feel love for those we are with. Think about those places. And then I invite you to think about those places where, despite our good intentions, we may be showing up with closed hearts. Think about those circumstances, those individuals, those gatherings where we are set on protecting, we are set on anticipating a problem, we are entering with fear or feelings of vulnerability, or maybe discomfort or even hatred. Think about those situations. And I invite you for just a moment to think about what would it be like to show up at least neutral? Are there situations that we dread where we can show up at least neutral? show up as we are and be fully present, to listen, to understand, but to be fully present. Not to anticipate problems, but to just see what arises. I think about this as our opportunity to create space, to hold space for the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, to transform situations, to help us to find paths to be more loving to each other. Jesus' ministry is the ultimate example of an open heart. Every story we read, we see Jesus' open heart. Paul is calling the Corinthians to join in this ministry as he and the other apostles have sought to join with Christ. We continue to be called in this ministry too. What is at stake? What is urgent? Likely more than we could possibly imagine. But with God's grace, open hearts, and starting even so very small, might we have more glimpses of hope. Might love prevail. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able as we proclaim our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, she is worshiped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For the victims of the wars in Uganda, Ukraine, Sudan, Palestine, and Israel, and for the unrest in Haiti and throughout the Middle East. For those impacted in the last week by gun violence, for the victims of the mass shootings in Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Princeton, West Virginia, Tuskegee, Alabama, Round Rock, Texas, Detroit, Michigan, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Southfield, Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, South Bend, Indiana, Methuen, Massachusetts, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Macon, Georgia, Richmond, California, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Oakland, California. For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For those around the world affected by natural disaster, for the victims of the intense heat wave, the fires in New Mexico, and the tropical storm in Mexico and Texas. For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Kristen, our bishop, and all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in the church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Fressa Crane, Nicole Ivey, Dorothy Martin, Ryan Patel, Lisa Center, Ciora Schlecker, Susanna Sheldon, Christina Wolf, Presiding Bishop Michael Curry. For those who are struggling with mental health concerns, for those who are sick and those who care for them. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We pray, Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, to be present with those who take counsel during the 81st General Convention of the Episcopal Church for the renewal and mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right. Grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it. We pray also for our rector Philip in his time away on sabbatical, and we pray for the Duval family in their travels. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. For Kathy. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And now it's time for our communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. For the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia!
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Mark, in the name of God and on behalf of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. I invite you to stand as you are able. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as St. Paul would say, live without fear. Mm-hmm. God, your Creator, has made you holy, will always protect you, and loves you as a mother. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.